Father, we are glad to be here, Lord. I'm glad to be in your house today with my friends, Lord, that you've given to me, Lord, for encouragement, for a great blessing, Lord. So today I pray, Lord, that you would share with us your heart, as you are always faithful to do, Lord, and may we be attentive, may we have ears to hear, Lord, what you'd have to say to your church here in Windsor, Lord. All that we ask, Lord, in your name, amen. So those disciples there in that upper room must have been a little confused, and their minds must have been wondering, because Jesus would say to them there in John chapter 14, I'm just going to read a few scriptures, and we'll have one of those up for you, but you may not need your Bible today, and I say that with all due respect. Maybe this for this next hour and a half, you won't need it, maybe. There, Jesus tells his disciples in the upper room, John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where's he going? They must have thought. And then just a few moments later, he would share again with them, saying, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So Jesus is going away, but then he is going to come back and dwell with them. They must not have understood necessarily what he was referring to. And they would watch Jesus. They would watch him go to the garden to pray. And Judas and a whole group would come, and Jesus would be betrayed and taken away and put on trial and then beaten nearly to death and then nailed to a cross. And their hearts must have sunk. But 3 days later, there were reports he's alive. And sure enough, he would appear again to his disciples. He would rise from the dead, appear to them. And there in John chapter 20, Jesus looks at his disciples and breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus breathes on you and says, receive the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would then make his home in their hearts. Jesus would go physically back to heaven. There, he said, to prepare a place for them. But yet his Spirit would stay. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father would stay within those disciples and be the helper that Jesus promised to them. Now, Paul, last week we read this. He picks up on this same thought there in Ephesians chapter 3. We read it, and my heart kind of beat as we read through that little section there in chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says this, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I think Chris mentioned that Greek word katakaio, something like that. That sounds Greek. Which means down home. It means comfortable, at home. One translation is that Christ would be at home in your hearts, in our hearts. And just as Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to dwell with you. My Spirit will dwell with you. And just as Paul prayed for those Ephesians, that same prayer needs to be prayed for you and for me today, that we would be strengthened, that he would be at home in our hearts. And how does that happen? A lot of you know Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus speaking to the church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, I will come in to him and I will dine, I will sup, I'll have a meal with him. And many of you might have that painting in your Bible, in your illustrated Bible perhaps, that famous painting of Jesus at the door of a little cottage, knocking. And you'll notice there's no latch. There's no doorknob on the outside of the door. It's on the inside. You, me, we need to open that door to let him in. And oh, the promise. I'll come and we'll have a burger. We'll have a meal together. We'll dine together. And many of us, I pray all of us, have done that, have let him in to our hearts. The first room when Jesus came in, I said, welcome Jesus to my heart, to my home. And he says, well, this is a great room. What room is this? Oh Lord, this is the living room. A great room. It's got a fireplace. There's a TV if we need it, but well, I probably don't need that. There's lots of windows to see out in beautiful nature. And he says, yeah, this is very comfortable with the couches. He said, I'll tell you what, why don't we meet here every morning and I'll speak to you and I'll let you know things that are coming up, things that you'll need on a day-by-day basis. And you can share with me and tell me all that you need to say, and we can talk things over morning by morning. You see, Jesus would say, that what was needed for me when I was on earth, my Father would speak to me. I would need to hear his voice. In fact, it was predicted there in Isaiah chapter 50, a verse clearly about Jesus, saying this, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Do you need to speak a word? Do you need to have a word for someone who is weary? Anyone? It goes on to say, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned to give me that word. It was prophesied centuries before, Jesus said, about me. And if I need to hear from the Father back then, oh, I think you do too. And I said, yes, Lord, that sounds great. You'll share with me and I can have access to you. And whenever I want, morning by morning, he says, I'll be here. And so we would meet and my heart would just be warmed as we would do that. Now, as time goes on, I wish I could say I kept doing that, but you know, things get busy, and one day coming down the stairs, there's stairs in my heart, lots of ups and downs. I was coming down the stairs and running out the door and saw him sitting there. He had a fire going in the fireplace, and I thought, oh, it's been many mornings since I've met with him. Hate to say, I forgot about him. And I walked up to him and thinking, oh man, he is going to lecture me and I deserve it. I've stood him up so many times. And he looked at me and says, good to see you, Terry. Now, as I was saying, and then he picked up and from where he left off and started to speak to me. And so touched my heart. I learned that day, truly, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we had a wonderful morning. And he said, well, what's that room over there? I've never been in that room. And I said, oh, Lord, that's a great room too. That's my study. And we went in and he looked around and saw all these books on the shelves. And he started looking at them and thinking, well, I don't. And I said, oh, Lord, I don't look at those anymore. I've got everything I need right here. DIY videos. I can ask Google any question and Google has the answer. And I can watch YouTube and all the rest. It's all right here. That's my library now. It's the information age, after all. And Jesus looked at that and said, well, does that satisfy you? And I said, well, I can watch videos endlessly. And tomorrow, I can come back and do the same thing. And he says, I'll tell you what. Can we have a trade? I'll give you a single volume, 66-book library. And in that, you will find out that you can study to show yourself approved to God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. I said, oh, okay, Lord. And he said, now, if you need, it's okay. There, if you need to, there's an app for that also. And we did. It was just not me opening the word. He opened the word to me. I would hear his voice reading to me. And I began to understand, began to learn his story. It's a love story, a great one. In the love of my Father and the work of the Spirit. And every time I do, I'm filled and I'm blessed opening this book, this library of his. Written for me, words in black, words in red. In fact, he made a promise to me way back in the book of Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Do you want to be successful? Yes, Lord. Here's the key to that success, that eternal, that spiritual success. Well, again, a great time with the Lord. And then he said, hey, what's all that noise down the hall? I said, oh, Lord, I was hoping you would notice that. That's the family room. Oh, do you mind if I come in? Oh, Lord, if you dare. And so he came into the family room. That place for me, it's my family and my extended family, wife and kids and parents and in-laws and outlaws and all of that, cousins, and they're all in the room. And as Jesus comes in, oh, the kids make a mad dash for him when they see him. And I said, whoa, 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 kids. And Jesus said, that sounds familiar. Some of my disciples tried to do that one time. Let the kids come to me. I said, okay, Lord. And they came and they tackled him and they were rolling on the floor and Jesus was just playing with them. And then he somehow calmed them down and started telling his stories to them, amazing stories. And they were at peace and they were just amazing. Never seen him like that. I thought, we need this guy in Sunday school. And he brought peace to a place that many of you can relate. Maybe it's a place of dysfunctionality, lots of emotion, a place of conflict. He was able to bring peace to that. And I said, Lord, that's amazing that you can do that. And he said, do you see how I've altered this place? I said, yes, Lord. You need to have the altar in the middle of your family. I need to be in the middle of your family. You remember, he said, when I was teaching and they said, Jesus, your family's outside, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, they're calling for you. And I said, who are my mother and my brothers and my sister? That's you, the people that I was teaching. You see, my disciples were my family. But for you, your family are your disciples. I've given you a ministry to your family. For you, that needs to be the most important ministry, your family, that I've given to you. I've placed you there. You are the right person, the only right person to be the head of the household. I said, yes, Lord. Because he said, there is a very real enemy that wants to take down and destroy the family. And he asked, this closed door in this family room, what is that? And all I could do is sigh and say, you know, Lord. And he says, I do know. He said, I know you've been praying for the person, for your family member behind that door. Oh, Jesus, it was bad for a long time before you got here. And I thought that when you got here, it would get better. But Lord, it only seems to have gotten worse. And I wouldn't blame you for that. But Lord, I've lost the key to that door. I don't have access to that door anymore, no matter what I do. Lord, You are the Lord of the universe. You can go in that door, can't you? I've been praying for an open door, Lord. Here you are. And I could see a somber look on his face as he said, in the same way that you let me into your heart when I was knocking at the door, so too, it's true for every person. The Father does not have any grandchildren. The Father only has his kids, those that respond to him. And Terry, your prayers are heard. And even now, I am standing and knocking at that door. And do me this favor, do this thing, Terry. Continue to talk this over with me, morning by morning. Continue to take in of the word. And treat that person, your family member, like I would treat them. Like I have treated you, with grace, with love, with mercy. Continue to do that, will you? Yes, Lord. Well, he could see that I was still in need, and so he said, well, are you hungry? Maybe we can get a bite to eat? And I said, okay, Lord. And we went over to the dining room, that place where cravings and appetites are dealt with. And so I went to the kitchen real quick to pull out a couple meals, and I came with my favorite meal, a big, giant, plate-sized cinnamon roll and a hot fudge sundae. Jesus says, you eat that? I said, Lord, it's very good. I put that in front of me, in front of him, and I started digging in, and I noticed he wasn't eating. And he said, does that satisfy you? I said, oh, Lord, you know, it tastes great. But kind of right after I take all that in, I feel kind of sick, big stomach ache. And then I asked myself, why did I do that? Again, I'll never do that. And then about 4 hours later, I come back and get the same thing. He says, hold on a minute. And he goes to the kitchen, and he comes back with a most fascinating meal. A little piece of bread, unleavened, and a little cup. And he places them before me, and he says, take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. And take this cup. It's the blood of my new covenant, my promise, my agreement with you. Drink deeply. And I did. And it was amazing. Just that little meal, I was so satisfied. And I understood, just as he told that woman at the well, if any man drinks of the water in this well, he's going to thirst again. But if anyone drinks of the water that I have, he shall never thirst. And that day, my table became his table, the Lord's table. And we can come here anytime you want. And I found myself doing that, but sometimes I noticed, I think I was thirsty again. And, well, I noticed because I was back at the old watering hole. But he would come out with that meal once again and meet with me and talk with me and fellowship with me. Well, there was a knock on the door, and I went to the door to open it up, and oh, forgot, Lord, it's Thursday. It's music day. And my bandmates all came in the door and went off to the music room, and Jesus said, oh, great, and was falling right in. I said, Lord, hold on a second. I don't know that you would like it in there with those guys. Why don't you hang on for a couple hours? I'll come and meet with you a little later. And he said, okay. And I closed the door, kind of in his face. And, well, we got our instruments out. We started a jam on our tunes. And I started to realize I didn't like those songs like I did before. The lyrics were kind of gross. And the jokes and the stories were stupid and demeaning. And I looked at my friends, my bandmates, and they were just a mess. True story, when I was in college, I was in a band. The lead singer was a stripper. True story. Now, I would say, oh, it's a good thing that those careers are completely separate. We were playing one time in I think it was a Mexican restaurant, and there must have been, I don't know, 15 people there. My college roommates were there watching. I was playing my bass over on this side of the stage, and the singer, she was standing there, and out of the corner of my eye, while I'm playing my bass, I saw her do this. And I thought, oh my goodness. I looked down. I was so embarrassed because I didn't know what quite had happened. I didn't want to think, and looked at my college roommates over there, and they didn't show any crazy faces. So I finally got the guts to look over. She had just taken off her jacket. She still had something on, thankfully. Oh. Well, someone in that band room, in that practice, said his name. Jesus Christ. But they didn't say it like that. And so there was a knock on the door, and I opened it up, and it was Jesus. Jesus, I heard my name. How's it going in there? I said, Lord, I don't think I'm liking this much anymore. And he said, well, let me come in. And he did, and my bandmates saw him, and well, they were there just for a couple minutes, but then they all took off. They didn't know how to deal with him, and I thought, well, oh Lord, I guess that's that, and I reached to just put my musical instrument away, and he grabbed my hand and he said, Terry, let me develop my gifts in you for my kingdom. I said, okay, Lord. And he would show me how important it is to worship him. He would show me one day at a church, and I think it was Atascadero. I was a couple minutes late. I was dispatched to go watch their worship service to see what was going on, and I was in the parking lot, and it wasn't a day like this, cold and rainy. It was a beautiful day. I was in my car, and I saw, first, I heard the music in the church, and then I saw people running into the church. They didn't want to miss what was going on. It was that important to them. They didn't want to miss it. First time I saw that. But the Lord would develop a hunger, a passion in me to worship him and through music lead others in worship. It made so much sense then thinking about Mary there in the room, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. There she took out the expensive oil. It was her dowry, and she broke it and anointed Jesus with it. She worshiped him and took her hair and wiped his feet. She worshiped him. She had the fragrance of Christ all over her hair. And the fragrance filled the room. All the others watching were blessed. And so too in worship, he's shown me how important it is not to be a worship leader, to be a lead worshiper. Oh, Lord, I need to worship you. And Lord, in that drawing people to you, that priestly ministry, bringing people to the Lord and bringing the Lord to people, being that person, that priest that he's called me to be. What are your gifts? What are your gifts that he would want to help develop in you if you don't know them yet? I know many of you have incredible gifts, some very fattening gifts. Others, think of somebody in the fellowship hall, metalwork, ready to bless anybody who wants to do that. What are your gifts? Oh, how important it is to give what he has given to us back to him so that his kingdom might be expanded. Well, the Lord said, well, you'll have fun in this room, but what's that room over there? Lord, that's my work room. That's the place where I work. I brought him in. I said, now, Lord, I don't know that they'll be comfortable with you there. They might be offended. What? I'll tell you what. I'll bring him in. See how big this space is. I spent a lot of time here. But I'll just kind of keep you here in my, kind of tucked away in my cubicle, just in case. No, you don't have to be seen, but I want you there, Lord. Well, that worked for a while, but people kind of noticed. Who's that? Well, that's my friend, Jesus. And when I allowed him to, he would talk to my friends, my workmates, co-workers. And an amazing thing would happen when he did. He would, when I allowed him to, he would minister to them. He would bless them. And they would share things that, heavy things that I never would have known about them, that they were struggling with. And I would start to pray for them. And not just them, everybody I was working with. Lord, I can see I need to pray for them. And even those who would want to pray with them. And those were, some were just intrigued with him and wanted to learn more about him. And I realized what he said, that we need to be the light of the world. Not hidden under a bushel, no. But put on a lampstand so that all who are in the house will have light. So too, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify my Father in heaven. So every day is bring your Savior to work day. And I was simply amazed how Jesus had changed every room in my heart, had brought peace and life, abundant life to my heart. Well, one day, Jesus was not at his normal spot, and I went around the house looking and saw him there in the hallway, and he looked at me and said, Terry, we have a problem. I said, we do, Lord? And he said, yes, from the very first day that I came into your heart, there was an odor, there was a smell, the smell of death. And I thought, let's one thing at a time. And it seems to be coming from this hall closet, this locked closet. Oh, I said, Lord, now, I got this. I can handle it. I've gotten pretty used to this closet. Nothing to worry about here, Lord. It's just a silly little closet. And Jesus said, I need to take care of what's in that closet. Lord, I've given you entrance and access into every room of my house. Don't I deserve something from me? Can I keep this for me? And he would say, no. It's going to wipe you out, and it's going to take out your family, and it'll bring you down in a great collapse. Lord, I can't. And he would say, okay. And then he would make his way back to the furthest corner of the house, away from that closet. I could see, I could sense that it was affecting him, I think knowing how it was affecting me. And so he was there, and well, the cinnamon roll and hot fudge sundae would come back out, and the old tunes would be back on the speakers. It was YouTube videos again, and life was miserable. Family was miserable. And I went and grabbed him after many days and said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. You're asking me something very hard, and I don't want to open this closet to you. And he said this, do you agree that this stinks? Do you agree that this has got to go? I said, yes, Lord, but I don't know how to do it. He said, that's what confession is. When you confess, you and I agree that this stinks. And it's got to go. And all you need to do is give me permission. Give me the key. Terry, when I talked to you, when I came into this came at this hall closet and talked to you, did you notice what I said? I said, Terry, we have a problem. I didn't say you have a problem. We have a problem. You see, if you confess your sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know you don't know how to do that. You see, I paid with my blood to be able to do that, for the privilege to do that. Lord, I'm so ashamed what's in that closet. It stinks. You shouldn't have to do that. Just give me the key. I said, okay, Lord. And it was really hard to do. And I left. Lord, you say you will do it. You'll promise you'll do it. And I pray that you do. And when I came back, hours later, something changed. I could smell something different. I recognized that smell. It's the smell of the fragrance of Christ. Wow, Lord. Look what you've done. I'm so humbled and amazed, Lord, what you've done in my life, in my heart, that you would think of me as something worthy to, a worthy place to live in, Lord. I'll tell you what, Lord, I had an idea. I went to those personal files and found, Lord, here's the title deed to my home. I realized, Lord, I cannot manage my life. I'm already thinking of where to build another closet. Would you take this, Lord? Would you manage my life? Would you take over, Lord? And he smiled at me and he said, I'll tell you what. Because you do that, because you have prepared this place for me, let's go to my house. Because you've prepared this place for me, I've been preparing a place for you. And I've been working on it for 2,000 years. And off we go to his place. And church, I've been thinking about this lately. I've been thinking about how people are confused about heaven. People have ideas about heaven. What's it going to be like? Are we just going to be on the harps, sitting, you know, singing on clouds and wearing robes? Lord, do I get to wear shorts and t-shirts or do I have to wear a robe? We just have a funny idea about heaven, don't we? What it's going to be like. Are we going to recognize people? I'm so nervous about heaven. You know what heaven is, I've been thinking about? It's the place where he lives. I want to be with him. I don't care where that is. Honestly, I want to be where he is. And so we go. He takes us. But that's a story that I cannot share. It's a story beyond description. As nervous as we are, what's heaven like? You know what he says? Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, the things that he has prepared for those who love him. I can't even tell you, he says. It's going to be a surprise. And you're going to be so blessed. We're going to be so blessed. And church, while we wait for that day, when he takes us to his home, let every heart prepare him room. And Lord, I want to pray that prayer for us again, Lord, that Paul prayed. Ephesians 3. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father, for Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And Father, we pray that prayer, Lord, that you would strengthen us, Lord, not our strength, Lord, but the strength by your Spirit, the strength to allow him into every room that he might sanctify it, that he might set it apart for his purpose, and for the work of his kingdom, that others may be blessed, that our families would see, that our co-workers would notice. Lord, that we would give you free rein to be a minister of grace and mercy to others. Lord, that worship may ascend from our hearts, and that you would just continue to do the work that only you can do, Lord, from the inside out. Nothing else works, Lord. If you want him to do a work in your heart to a greater degree, would you stand today? Would you stand and allow him to speak to you today? And Father, all these are standing, Lord, even as our Savior in heaven is bowing to pray for us, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Give us your spirit, Lord, to, oh Lord, a much greater degree. I thank you for this church, this body of believers who really are a picture of you, Lord, a wonderful reflection of you. But Lord, even though we might be men and women after your own heart, Lord, we're just men and women. And how we need your spirit and how we need you, Lord, in our lives. So we pray for that, Lord, and you are faithful to do that, Lord, we know. In your name we pray. Amen.